Welcome to Shri and Kira Live, the voice of passionate action, bringing fresh perspectives and timeless wisdom for today's shifting paradigm. Now, it is your moment to open your mind, relax into your body and spirit as we explore the greater meaning of your now experience. Bringing wisdom, laughter, and clarity, here are Shri and Kira.
Namaste, beloved one, and welcome to a very, very special edition of Shri and Kira Live. I am Kira Ra.
And I am Shri Ram Ka, and we are delighted to be with you.
You know, as we gaze out the window, I'm staring at a monsoony, cloudy, yet gorgeous day here in Delhi. And we are here in India. We are here for the entire month, and we are delighted and honored that you are here with us as well.
You know, India is often referred to as Mother India because so much evolved from this wonderful country. And certainly part of our journey is honoring and exploring the great, rich history of India and the deities and the lessons of cosmic origin that are here for us all.
So let's get started, because what we are doing is today, it's about relaxing into the divinity of your divine self, your amazing presence, and igniting that inner guru. You know, here in India, for eons, there has been the model of the guru and the chela, the teacher and the student. And regardless of where that interpretation of that energy takes you, the value and the wisdom is the energy that says we are each here to remember ourselves, and that for all the billions of beings on this beloved planet cohabitating together right now, every one of us has inside of us that inner guru, the wisdom, the divine energy, just waiting for us to ignite it. And that's what today is all about, the ignition of that beautiful inner guru.
The I am is both the starting point and the ending point of your sacred journey. And so often in life, we get distracted by our obligations, our emotions, our preoccupations, our delusions and illusions. And this is indeed part of the fabulous nature of living a life in a body. And yet, each of us at some point feels that yearning for greater authenticity, for greater alignment with the truth of your being.
In every single way. Now, you know, speaking about greater alignment with the truth of your being, we also want to say thank you to all of you, the most amazing, beautiful beings on the planet. We are being flooded with your email requests for many soul readings and comments and questions about this virtual tour of India that we're all on this week, this month of July. Remember that if you have not yet sent in your mini soul reading request or sharing or question, you can do so by sending it to guest@shriandkiraradio.com. Again, that's guest@shriandkiraradio.com. We will be live August 6th. And on August 6th, we will resume taking your phone calls. And during this month in India, we are going to answer as many of these emails as we possibly can. So you'll want to stay tuned. And we're really grateful that all of the ones that have come in really have this beautiful community overlay. So we're very excited and honored. And thank you for participating in our virtual tour from India.
Each and every show offers an opportunity to connect to a deeper part of yourself, an opportunity to connect to the healing energy that is available for all of us to enjoy. I believe that each and every being is a surrogate for all other beings. That is, we are all expressing universal themes of healing and a restoration of oneness.
In every single way. Now, let's dive into this, my loves. You know, as we mentioned at the top of the show, we are here in India, and one of the things that's important to remember is that, you know, there is this ancient energy of cosmic spiritual wisdom here. And this is one of the things when Shri and I were here just a few years ago and spent significant time in the Ellora Caves, that cosmic resident, especially when you see the way that the Mount Kailash Temple was carved in the Ellora Caves, there is this undeniable energy of this extraordinary ancient mystical presence. And certainly one does not need to come to India to discover that. You can discover that inside of yourself at any moment. And we wanted to start this journey of the I Am Mastery, this journey of the ignition of the inner guru, by really diving back into the wisdom, the ancient wisdom from the ancient rishis and sages of this area, and really talk about those perennial philosophies to ignite this conversation. Now, generically speaking, remember that the perennial philosophies essentially offer that there was the recognition that there is a changeless reality beneath the perception of the world of change, and that this changeless reality exists within every single individual, and that to discover this changeless reality while in form is actually the purpose of life. Now, I want you to bring a hand to your heart, take in a breath, and really feel that, because as we are traveling, as we are here in Mother India, certainly the perennial philosophies just seem to ooze out of these very ancient temples and hallowed grounds and so many of these different areas. Yet there is the stark contrast that exists all around the world of those that are aware and those that are not. And that is not unique to any one country. That is certainly the experience of Gaia.
Well, that is the experience of having taken form into density, which is what you signed up for.
Yes, you did.
Here we are at Earth School, and we begin in density consciousness. We begin with that individuated I am that then begins to become self-reflective through the lens of the ego. And we become self-reflective, self-aware, using the lens of the ego. And, well, it's quite natural that it all becomes about me.
It's really that pyramid of spiritual awakening, that first level, density consciousness. That's the me level, right?
That's absolutely it. And each and every one of us can smile at that because we took birth into that layer of consciousness. We were immersed in it. And the path of spiritual evolution means that we're going to journey through it. And so the journey involves having experiences that are less than, as well as having experiences of oneness. And it's through these multiples of experience that we start to cultivate the will and the willingness to make healthier choices. It takes a little bit of diversity, a little bit of extremes in order to cultivate one's sense of truth about oneself.
Or that inner guru, right?
Is that
really
guru.
What the inner guru is? The blessing of igniting the wisdom within and trusting it, of allowing what we often call the dismissible voice to become the non-dismissible voice. And that can only happen through the ignition of trust. And there are many beautiful ways that you can cultivate and start really listening to this inner guru of trust.
Now, the phrase the dismissible voice is a favorite of mine, because when we are walking through our lives, I think many of us start off in a quote-unquote conventional manner, meaning that we're conforming to the values that were given to us, that we adopted through our upbringing, through our culture, our religion, our society, and that we begin to conform and comply with those values. Values, because that's how we fit in. That's how we all get along. And then over time, we start becoming more selective. We start refining those values. And well, at first then, if we just simply adopted, you know, we were good children and we adopted what our parents told us, then that was the voice that was dominant. And the dismissible voice was the voice that said, wait a minute, this doesn't quite feel right for me. And we get in the habit of dismissing that quieter truth. Well, what is ironic is as we continue our journey, as we learn to meditate, as we learn to become more mindful, as we learn to be more accepting of ourselves, and we discover there's so much truth that emanates from deep within, that our bodies have a wisdom, that our soul has a wisdom, and that these messages from deep inside while they may have been dismissed at earlier stages of our journey, become less dismissible as we truly fine-tune ourselves.
Well, you know, speaking of that, I want to dive into one of our first mini soul reading requests that were sent to guests at sriankiraradio.com. And I'm going to read the letter, my angels, because this really ties into today's show so beautifully and is really a question that I think everyone is asking. And this beautiful letter comes from Anne in Scotland. And let me read you Anne's letter. Namaste, Sri and Kira. I am a regular listener and have found your messages on the radio show, YouTube, and the website sincere and extremely helpful during this amazing but challenging time. I would be very grateful if you would be able to give me some advice during your July shows. I have read through the article on your website, Navigating Through Fear to Oneness, several times and feel it resonates very deeply, particularly the Archangel Zadkiel message regarding oneness connection versus energetic attachment. Now, I want to stop right there, guys. If you have not connected with this article that Anne is referring to, gift yourself today. Go to sriankira.com and you will find this article. Read it and allow yourself to really receive the blessing of this article. Here's what Anne continues with. I am aware of most of my attachments or distractions as they are quite obvious and predictable, such as materialism. However, I am now wondering if some of my spiritual yearning and practices have been to some extent another attachment which my ego uses to sustain itself. For example, spirit communication and the need to feel special. Some of my choices may appear to be of service, but may also give ego gratification. I sometimes experience temporary satisfaction instead of real joy, which suggests I have not yet found my true path. Can you please help me and any other listeners with this discernment? I would love a mini soul reading around this. With great love, blessings, and gratitude, Anne, Scotland, UK. Well, Anne, first and foremost, Sri and I bow to your discernment, to your inner wisdom, to constructing this question. And all of you that are listening, this one hits home, doesn't it? Right? I think this is just a very powerful discernment vehicle on discovering the inner guru, because this is one of those, you don't know what you don't know till you don't know it.
Well, absolutely. And I want to comment that the path of awakening involves looking, involves noticing. And the one piece of invitation I want to offer to you is to notice and to relax the judgment, meaning to notice that you're doing something. Maybe it's egocentric, maybe it's not. That's okay. Just notice it. And then to notice that you might be judging yourself harshly for doing it. And just notice that
you
as
know,
well.
There, one of the things that I love here in India is that everything is out there. You know, this is a country of a billion people. And even in the short time Sri and I have been in India so far, with a lot more coming through the entire month, you immediately notice the stark contrast here in India. It's all here. Whatever energy experience one wants to claim, the blessing of India is that there is this beautiful harmony of every single energy. And it is got this beautiful permeating energy of I want to give an example. Last night, Sri and I were having a lovely meal, and the most amazing, beautiful man, one of many that was offering us his gift of service during our meal, happened to notice that Sri was wearing his Sarvasiddha mala, his beautiful mala of 1 through 21 Rudrashka, and it initiated a conversation based upon beliefs and Lord Shiva and many other things. But he made a comment at one point that struck me very deeply. He looked at Sri and I with a smile, with a beautiful smile on his face, and he said, "I am living my life until I die." And he was very sincere, and to many people, this may seem like almost an alarming comment. But for him, it was very much about, and he just started volunteering. As a matter of fact, he had so much to share that our food got cold. It was such a powerful interaction. And what he was sharing was, I meet so many people, and all they seem interested in is materialism. All they seem interested in is the acquisition of things or business, and they don't stop even for a moment to notice the greater nature of their life experience or the greater nature of everything that's happening around them. He said, and what I see is that my life, my family, my children, my work, my job, it's all part of the experience of my soul, so that when I release this body, I will be ready. And there was such a humble blessing in this. He wasn't pontificating. He was celebrating that he was clear. Mm-hmm. And here, this beautiful, humble man who was serving us a meal was in that moment a guru.
In that moment, indeed. And it really underscores the piece that we wanted to reflect back to you, is that your own self-awareness is the gift of awakening. It is through self-awareness that we notice, and the pivotal point is to look at ourselves and others with love. To look at ourselves and with the attitude of acceptance. I'm doing the best I know how in this moment, with this consciousness. I'm doing the best I know how.
Now, bringing this back to Anne's email, and the reason we wanted to share this was that ego that he was sharing with us? Was he trying to impress us? Well, in the energy of the dialogue, what Sri and I can share with you now is that what we experienced was that what he was sharing with us was a celebration that he was with two beings, Sri and I, who could celebrate his recognition. I did not experience, and Sri, maybe you can share if you thought, but I did not experience any ego in that. What I experienced was a celebration of recognition, which is a spiritual discernment and a piece of spiritual mastery.
And this is an important discernment, and it ties back a little bit to our listeners' email, is that each of us has a natural need to be seen, to be loved. There's a difference between being recognized and being loved and the need to be special. But the need to be special is simply a younger version of the need for self-respect and to be loved. And there, it's a natural progression. I know that each and every one of us needs a hug from time to time. Mm-hmm. Each and every one of us needs to look in the mirror and say, I love you.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I was going to say, may that hug begin with yourself.
And so this conversation with this man that we had the pleasure of meeting was in the spirit of recognition, not in the spirit of bragging. And
a celebration.
It was a celebration.
It really felt like a celebration to me. He was celebrating that he could be safe enough, because I think that's another part of it, is you need to feel safe enough within your own skin, yet he felt the opening to have this conversation.
Many times the conversation we have, the words we use, would be received differently depending upon the consciousness of the receiver.
Exactly.
So that when we're chatting about certain things with people who are immersed in density consciousness, we're going to trigger judgments.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we chat about the very same topics with people who have journeyed a little further in their opening, and we're going to be received with love.
Well, and this is where I want to go back to Anne's email, because Anne, you really raised, your whole letter was written actually from the perspective of one who is sincerely calling in spiritual discernment. Spiritual discernment is part of the inner guru, because when we first awaken, when we first start discovering the greater mysteries and the reignition of the divine wisdom within ourselves, there is a natural progression through the pyramid of spiritual awakening. So we awaken from density consciousness, that me focus, and we lift up into spiritual activism. And spiritual activism is a step along the way. Spiritual activism is where we first awaken to the we versus the me. However, the we can start having an enormous amount of egoic traps in it. And this is a very powerful discernment.
Now, part of spiritual activism is we've adopted some principles and values, and then we become a little bit critical if we're not conforming to those values.
the we, which is greater than the me, becomes judgmental of other we's.
That's right. We either project it inward or we project it outward.
Exactly.
But in either case, it's a powerful evolutionary step to adopt values and then notice when we're aligned with the values and when we're not. And the key is to bring in the energy of love to continue the journey.
Absolutely. And so as we do, and as we navigate through, remember, we're on this constant lifting cycle. So as we navigate through this process, as we navigate through this journey of awakening, this spiritual activism level, we get to a moment where, and Sri and I call this, we pop or we drop, and you will do one or the other. You either pop through the spiritual activism, which is where the judgment releases and the trust ignites. This is when the inner guru is anchored, when we can release the judgment, when we can release the doubt, because doubt is a judgment, is it not? And as we do that and we pop into the strata that is known as ascension awareness. It's a moment where we relax into the bigger picture. We relax into the recognition that every being has the right to express their journey. It doesn't mean you have to agree with it. It doesn't mean you need to condone it. It's simply a recognition of its right to be as part of the allness. And this is where the I am mastery starts really anchoring. You know, being here in India and walking, even in the hotel we're in, or when Sri and I are out meeting people, there is a graciousness among many of the people we meet, not everyone, but there's a graciousness among many of the people we meet of that blessing of namaskar or namaste. Now, that is what? What is that? Well, it's the ultimate, the divine in me sees and honors the divine in you. And this is something that I also want to share with Archangel Zadkiel. Archangel Zadkiel says very beautifully, and again, I'm going back to Anne's message. Archangel Zadkiel says often, keep your eyes on the divine at all times. Now take that in. Let's really dive into that for a moment, because if you bring a hand to your heart and you hear Zadkiel's message there, keep your eyes on the divine at all times. Well, it serves many, many, many things. This is a very deep, wisdom-filled, powerful, powerful statement by Archangel Zadkiel. It's an invitation to live namaste. Because when we keep our eyes on the divine at all times, this is something that applies to everything. It applies to every being we meet. Is that not the namaste? Keep your eyes on the divine at all times. It is an invitation to stay and anchor in ascension awareness. Because if my eyes are on the divine, I do not have time to be judging. If my eyes are on the divine, then I am releasing the doubts, am I not? And if my eyes are on the divine, beloved Anne, and you are keeping your eyes on the divine at all times, then it becomes self-revelant. What is egoic and what is not? And above all else, when we keep our eyes on the divine at all times, we acquire mercy for ourselves. We see the divine in action. We see the natural progression that is part of the human experience that each one of us has called into our journey, which is why we are here now. And I want to go back to that beautiful man who we were chatting with last night, who said, "I am living my life until I die." Because his eyes were on the divine at all times. You know, one of the things that when Gandhi was shot, and when you go to the Gandhi Memorial, which Sri and I have been very blessed to be at several times, there is a pervasive energy of keeping your eyes on the divine at all times. And it is said that at the moment of his transition, Gandhi's last words were of God. And that when we keep our eyes on the divine at all times, then there is no fear of death. There is no fear of transition. There is the recognition that this life has been the journey with all of its twists and turns and ups and downs and magical and non-magical moments. It is the journey that has led us to keep our eyes on the divine at all times, that has ignited our inner guru, that has brought forward the I am mastery of who we truly are, and that allows us to recognize your ego may have been in the way. Your ego may have been involved, but that's how we've grown. That's how we get there. And with every breath and every moment, you become even more ignited as the inner guru you are. So to wrap up Anne's beautiful letter, Anne, the discernment is this. On the path of awakening, in the journey of the yoga of self-ascension, there are four steps. And every one of these four steps has a building block process. And the four steps have no specific order, yet we tend to constantly spiral through them in an ever-refining manner. And one of those steps is to release judgment. And so, beloved one, and all of you that are listening, we invite you right now to ignite your inner guru, to call forward that ultimate namaste, to keep your eyes on the divine at all times as you have mercy on yourselves. And the more that you keep releasing judgment of yourself and others, the greater the discernment anchors, the faster your spiritual tenacity becomes your daily life experience, and you effortlessly become the living gift of the ascension awareness energy experience. And so, beloved ones, bring a hand to your heart. Close your eyes if it's safe to do so. Let's take in a deep breath together. Let's go in. Let a smile come to your face. I am here. I am ready. I am open. Guide me. And as you feel the gift of the ignition of your inner guru, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we have so much more to share from here in beloved Mother India to you, wherever you may be right now. Feel us in oneness and in divine connection.
Stay with us. We'll be right back after this message.
Welcome to the Self-Ascension Classroom, affordable and beautiful home study for your mystical journey. Imagine the gift of studying everything that you've ever wanted at home and on your time. Yes, it is possible, and there is so much to choose from as you dive into your home study experience. Remember that with every moment you spend studying this gift, you ignite your divinity. Imagine the mysteries of the Toheel and the crystalline clarity and radiant abundance of Vesa, a mastery balancing technique and certification process, and then cosmic life regression. Travel the universe and remember, allow yourself the gift of navigating the inner matrix. This beautiful Ascended Mastery program of the Violet Flame will take you to places you may not have dared to dream to go, and then you will rediscover the true gift of your divine nature. Yes, the time is now to study the ancient mysteries, and it's so easy to begin. Discover the Self-Ascension Classroom only at SriAndKira.com. That's SriAndKira.com. Namaste.
Welcome back. We're delighted to be with you. And today we are exploring the I Am journey, the journey of mastery. And I want to remind each and every one of you that there are many paths, there are many ways that we come into realization, and that the path of awakening, the spiritual journey, is as unique as you are. And ultimately, your life is your spiritual journey, and that your process is part and parcel the material that stimulates your awakening. And so thus the paradox gets ever richer and ever riper. We seek wisdom from others, we seek guidance from others, but ultimately it comes back to our own capacity to recognize the guidance that we're given, to recognize the feedback that life offers us, to recognize that love promotes movement and judgment tends to halt movement, that sincerity attracts and that frustration repels, and that these principles need to be acquired, assimilated, and lived in order to move into our fullest expression of our mastery. And guess what? You have your whole life to do this. Sometimes we forget that we are all learners. We are learning through our lives. That learning is a unique quality of consciousness. In fact, one of the things that distinguishes what you might call lower life forms from higher life forms is that self-reflective capacity and the ability to learn.
Well, you know, I've got to jump in here, Sri, because as the learner, we are also acknowledging that there is a teacher. And is that not the inner guru?
Yes,
is that not
yes.
the guru chela, the teacher student? It's a beautiful, beautiful way to really acknowledge and call that energy in.
Absolutely. And so from point of view, everybody and everything is your teacher.
And so true.
And
our school.
And yet, it is highly useful as we're walking our path to select a discipline, to select a teaching and stick with it. Because it's the very moment when you say, when you have that experience of, I don't like this anymore, or the experience of, I'm not sure this is right or good.
Yeah.
When the doubt comes in or when the difficulty comes in, that's the very point where one must lean into the teaching and help and use it to help pull you through the challenge points.
Now, you know, speaking of that, that brings us to another beautiful listener. And remember, beloved ones, all July, you can send your mini soul reading requests and questions to guest@shrinkyourradio.com. Now, we're getting hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, so obviously we're not going to get to everybody, but we are honored and we will do our best to get to as many as possible. And Sri, what you were sharing just now really leads us to another email. So let's read this one and then really talk about this, because this is also part of that inner guru, and this is also showing what happens when we forget who we are, when we absolutely forget it. And so this is a beautiful email that comes to us from Andrea, and Andrea is over in the Czech Republic. And thank you for writing, Andrea. And here's the message. Namaste, Sri and Kira. I'd like to ask you very much about my mini soul reading. For years, I have been without joy, in depression, and I do not know who I am. I feel deeply inside of me there is truly me, but it feels like I'm watching my body from above, and there is someone in my body, and I do not know at all who is it. How can I connect with my true self? How can I feel my true self in my body again? It is so difficult for me to put this state into words. How do I get out of my own cocoon? I wish to feel my power again. And what about karma? Shall I accept that my not good relationship is simply a case of my previous actions? Is that karmic? Thank you so very much, because what you do helps me and all of us so much. With many blessings, Andrea in the Czech Republic.
Well, beautiful one, your sharing provokes many teachings, many discernments, and we want to offer you some perspective that would be useful. And
to all of you, I think, because especially with what you were talking about, Sri, about this divine empowered state and what and how we get there, because really, isn't that what Andrea is saying?
Absolutely. And each and every one of us has times in our lives where we are disconnected. And then we notice that we're disconnected.
Which is actually a state of growth.
That is a state of growth. And then from the noticing, we start to make choices to reconnect and heal and evolve.
Now, you know, and the first thing I want to share to Andrea is, beloved angel, we have all been here. I certainly, when I read your email, I remember earlier times in my life where this could have been my email. And how many of you out there are, as we read Andrea's email, maybe not all of it, but pieces of it went,
I've
been there, done that, or I'm there now, or pieces of that. And this is very much part of the awakening journey. And I think this is what you were just talking about, Sri.
All journeys of awakening involve healing. And what I mean by that is emotional healing. Our emotional body is very powerful. It can be harnessed to create a great visionary, a great artist, and a great fighter, an army for that matter. That our emotions are powerful. And when we're feeling disconnected, when we feel as if we're floating above our life experience or we're depressed, now, this is the psychologist in me talking. It usually is a sign that we have disconnected from some emotional content that is just powerful or too painful when it was experienced. So I'm wanting to bring this up, that when we disconnect, oftentimes there is a vital healing experience that is waiting for resolution. And that vital and healing experience involves bringing our emotional passion to expression. That means catharting through, whether it was hurt or anger or any other experience. Now, here's the key. When we're young, powerful experiences are overwhelming, and our psychology and our neurological wiring simply can't handle the trauma of many childhood experiences. When we have matured, we're able to go back and safely look at those experiences. And sometimes we need a guide. We need a therapist, a counselor, a healer, a close friend, a minister, someone who can mentor us and be a safety net. However, the experience is very much universal. There are indeed feelings that are too powerful to process when we're young, yet because we shove them aside, these powerful feelings then promote us into a state of disconnect. So, beloved one step along the journey is to honor your emotional body and to move into emotional expression. Now, once again, I preface by saying this is the psychologist in me offering you an avenue for reconnection. There is another form of reconnection which involves the spiritual level of embracing yourself as you are right now.
You know, I want to jump in here too, because Andrea, you also talk about karma and karmic relationships, and we have a whole show that we could talk about this. And of course, you know, one of the places where you really see this playing out in intensity is here in India. And for example, I want to share something. When Sri and I were driving here to the hotel that we are in, and it was about an hour's drive from the airport to where we are currently in Delhi, and then lots of contrasts that you see along the way, I was struck by one very powerful incident when it came to karma and the experience of karma here in India. And it was very, very powerful. It's actually been sitting with me now for several days. And this incident was, we were in a lot of traffic and we were sitting in our car and sitting in the back of the car, of course. And I happened to glance over, and here was what must have been a, no more than 9 or 10 year old girl who was in a ditch, in a sari, dirty, digging. And she was digging with all of her might, and you could see that she was really digging. And I have no idea why this girl was in there digging this ditch on the side of the road. But what struck me was the woman standing over her, who was, they were both obviously very, very poor, but the woman standing over her was probably a grandmother. I mean, there was that much generational shift, standing over there in her sari, basically yelling at her and making sure that she was digging. And the time that we were in the car, what struck me was, what was this little 9-year-old girl doing with this shovel digging, and the look in her eye of, I have to really keep digging, and the almost the domination of the older woman. It really struck me in many different ways, and it stuck with me for the past several days. I've really had a challenge resolving it. And while this was not my own life experience, the witnessing of that experience has really been challenging me, and I've been really having to look at that situation, knowing that this is just one example of many that you find, not just in India, but all over the world. You know, what went through my mind was this girl sold to this woman? Was she a slave? Was she a relative? Why is she doing this? You know, what is the benefit? And the reality is that regardless of where my own value system may be, that is that situation. And part of ascension awareness is, and it has been a valuable lesson for me, and I'm sure many times I've been to India, Sri and I have been here, and there will be many more of these incidents, but what it has forced me to do is to recognize that in the experience of the life of these beings that I was shown a snapshot of just sitting in a car, and here I am creating what I'm seeing as an image of that, there was a distinct level of karmic experience because of a belief in karmic experience playing out.
Now, karma is indeed a principle of soul reincarnation. And here's one of the key elements. Karma can call you into a situation. However, it is your awakening and your empowerment that liberates you from that.
And there's many ways you can do that. Now, the reason I'm bringing this example up is in India, most specifically, and this also ties back to the gentleman that we were speaking with last evening, the belief in karma is actually an empowerment to get you through a very challenging situation. There is this belief that this is my lot, so to speak.
And it helps create acceptance.
Correct. And so if this is my lot and I accept this and I do it with pride and love and joy and I get through this lifetime, then this will free me. So I'm removing any judgment or sense of the experience itself and saying there is a role where if belief in karma gets you through and keeps your eyes on the divine, then that has served from that level of ascension awareness. Now, again, this is a very refined view. However, if you've read our book, Atlantean Revelations, How to Be a Mystic in a 9-to-5 World, one of the revelations that the archangelic realm offered was that at the turn of the millennium, this is going way back now to around the year 2000, 2001, there was a powerful energetic release on this planet, which meant that the karmic imperative had been released. So what that meant was we as individuals, and by the way, guys, if you don't know what I'm saying about being an individual, that beautiful lesson is lesson one of our 12 free lessons of light from the archangelic realm. Go to sriankira.com, get the lessons of light and start doing them. They are free. They are our gift to you. And lesson one is all about this. So going back to the release of this karmic imperative, as an individual, you have the opportunity to still play in the realm of karma. However, it is no longer an imperative once you lift into the ascension awareness experience.
So just for fun, imagine that you detach yourself and you say, okay, all souls going to Earth are in a lesson plan. And the lesson plan is that at the end of your lifetime, you're going to take a look at your regrets and accomplishments, and you're going to make a commitment for the next school year, which is the next lifetime. And that's how the karmic imperative can be understood to impose itself upon a lifetime. However, the entire solar system has reached a point where the karmic imperative was lifted, meaning you're now graduated. However, it takes a recognition to say, I am complete with this and I can complete my karma here and now. I don't have to wait until that moment of reflection between lifetimes. And that this recognition is very liberating because it means we are responsible for our actions and that we take responsibility for our lives.
And so, beloved Andrea, I want to just share with you personally and to all of you that are saying, how do I live through depression? How do I get out of bad relationships? How do I know that I am this beautiful evolved being? How do I let go of the one that is trying to destroy that awakening? You do it by committing to the journey. And if you've not seen our video at our YouTube channel about the spiritual essentials, please go watch that video. And I want to bring you to step one. Step one of the spiritual essentials is simply this: find a path and commit to it. One path, whether it's the yoga of self-ascension, whether it's anything else, find it and give yourself one full year. And no matter what, stick with it. And what I can promise you is at the end of that year, you will be on the other side of this. Now, that does not mean you have another year that you have to endure. What it means is that It begins with you saying yes to yourself and committing to doing the necessary work. You need to commit to your evolution. What are you doing with your spare time? Are you reading spiritual texts that bring you joy? Are you sticking with one pathway so you're not confused? Are you giving yourself the blessing of something as simple as the mantra of self-ascension? If you're feeling depressed, if you're feeling concerned, if you're feeling overwhelmed, hand to heart, I am here, I am ready, I am open, guide me, and you just keep repeating it. What about something as simple as a beautiful 108 simple strand of Rudraksha? And if you don't know where to find the real authentic one, go to malasforascension.com and just get one simple strand of authentic Rudraksha and touch each bead. I am here, I am ready, I am open, guide me. Wear it on your wrist, wear it on your neck. Touch it. Give yourself the gift of a touchstone, because as you do, you will build inherent trust. You will send a clear signal to the universe that you're serious, and the universe will support you in magical ways. So I want you to really breathe that in and feel that. I also want to share one more very quick little mini soul reading request. This came in from Joseph Adam Lashley, and Joseph's message was very simple. I think I am a starseed on Earth. Well, beautiful Joseph, yes, you are. And the reason that we wanted to quickly include your beautiful sharing is because it's a declaration. I want you to get rid of the I think I am a starseed on Earth. Bring your hand to your heart. Relax with a deep breath and simply declare, in that I am mastery, I am a starseed on Earth. The difference between I think and I am is the difference between density consciousness and ascension awareness. When we remove the doubt, we ignite the inner guru, and we make a strong declaration to the universe that our eyes are on the divine at all times. The ultimate namaste.
We are all evolving, and we're evolving through the limited perspective of an individual will into the universal perspective of the oneness. Have mercy on yourselves. This is why we wobble from time to time, and this is why you have self-awareness to course correct. In the beautiful journey of the I Am Mastery, you will find great power and reassurance in the mantra of self-ascension, which is simply, I am here. I am ready. I am open. Guide me.
And beloved ones, we are honored to be guiding all of us, including ourselves, through beloved Mother India this entire month of July. In just a few short hours, Sri and I will be heading up with our beautiful group of beings to Dharamsala, where we will be spending time with the Tibetan communities, visiting some of the ancient temples as we begin our trek deep into the Himalayas. We are excited to bring this journey with you, to you, and through you, and we are honored that you are igniting the inner guru. We love you, we honor you, and we are excited to be taking this journey all of July with you.
Bring a hand to your heart and let a smile come to your face. And until we have the joy of sharing more with you next week, may you know that all is truly well.
Namaste. Namaste.
Thank you for joining us at Sri and Kira Live. To have your questions answered, send us an email to guest@sriandkiraradio.com and check out more information at sriandkira.com. See you next week. Namaste.